Welcome to today's podcast, which is presented in conjunction with Information Security Magazine's 10th anniversary issue. I'm Michael Momoso, editor of Information Security, and this is an exclusive conversation with network security pioneer Bill Cheswick. Bill is the co-author of the landmark book, Firewalls and Internet Security, Repelling the Wily Hacker. And he also ran the famous Internet Mapping Project along with Hal Birch while they both worked at Bell Labs. Bill is currently the lead member of the technical staff at AT&T Research. I start off our conversation with a question about how the Internet Mapping Project came about.
It came about back, around 1996, when I went to a CIO breakfast, essentially. And CIO breakfast and other things, and I was wondering about the future of the Internet and what would we do in the future. You know, back in the 80s, when something bad happened, the Milnet would cut their connections to the ARPANET for a few days and wait for things to go away. Mm-hmm. Would this be something that could happen 10 years from now, meaning now? And I thought, gosh, someone ought to be making a map of what's out there and keeping an eye on the links and who could do that. And it turned out that probably the best placed person was someone at a corporate research center, and that was me. And so that's what I started with Hal Birch back in 1998. Started watching the network steadily for year after year.
I can't imagine how massive an undertaking that must have been.
Well, it was modest software. The software eventually became the core of Lumetta Corporation's stuff, and I guess it was maybe 30,000 lines of C code and shell scripts and so on. But it wasn't actually that hard to do. It was a lot of trace routes and trace route technology. And the layout code, the mapping, which is probably what you're getting on the pictures, was some clever code that Hal did to make the images. But no, it wasn't that hard. It was really, if anything, a tour de force in system administration, because every morning this computer would have to wake up and go out and collect the data and, you know, pack it away and try to do that reliably for year after year without partitions going or computers dying or power failures and all that other stuff. And I'd say we lost a couple of months over a period of, must have been 8 years that we did it. But pretty good. For a guy who's a little ADD and doesn't really focus much on one thing, it was really a long project for me.
Have you seen any noteworthy applications of that in terms of, you know, attack tracebacks and so forth?
But certainly the data, one of the reasons I did it was to give data for the researchers, and there have been papers written that analyze the data I've collected. So yes, there's been some of that, analyzing simulated tracebacks of attacks and so on. Graph theorists have analyzed it, trying to figure out is the internet scale free and other graphical questions like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's changed the world particularly. The images themselves have been a marketing breakthrough, which, you know, isn't wonderful for research, but, you know, people like the pretty pictures, and these maps have appeared pretty much everywhere, the senator's office and departments of justice and CEO boardrooms and so on. And in fact, recently when I got here to AT&T, they wanted the map for AT&T's use. So we made a little deal with Lumetta, and the map is bumping around here, and I'm not sure, it may be part of a marketing campaign at some point.
Let's talk a little bit about the Firewalls book. I know it's older than 10 years, but I know that there's a second edition, so that kind of makes it fair
game. That came out in 2003, I guess it was.
Right, so it kind of makes it fair game for what our issue's about. Is that your legacy? Is that maybe the thing you're most proud of looking back on your career so far?
I think so. That and a couple of other silly things. The first edition sold about 100,000 copies, which is really a blockbuster for a book. So I would say that my legacy, along with my co-authors, was training the first generation of network administrators in security. I think that's really what happened. I certainly did some early work in firewalls that count as some of the legacy. I coined the word proxy, and I also coined the phrase that corporations are like a crunchy outside with a soft, chewy center. That may be my biggest legacy that gets used all the time.
That's your fault, huh?
That's my fault. That was out of a paper that I published in 1990.
Catch us up on what you're working on today.
Well, I started work here at AT&T Research in April, and after 6 years in a startup and 6 months in a sabbatical. And as I did in the startup, I'm trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. AT&T Research here is, as a difference from a couple years ago, is a thriving place. And I'm sort of the staff optimist. to give you an idea of what, I'm working on lots of different things.
Do you anticipate the exponential growth of the internet and its impact on business and ultimately the way security is looked upon?
Well, my prediction qualities have varied over the years. 10 years ago, that's 97, I was telling the world to buy Cisco stock and had been for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I was not only telling people and predicting the growth, I was paying for my kids' college education with investments based on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have made predictions. Back in the first edition of Firewall's book, which came out in 93, we said that the reason most people connect to the internet is to read email. So, okay, the web was just emerging at that time. We missed that one, clearly. So it's easy to miss these things. But yes, I've been making predictions, and I think some of them have worked pretty well, and I can give you some now, if you'd like.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I think there are a lot of people, or there's some people are talking about the internet being broken. And I think, on the contrary, though there are certainly some threats to the internet, the internet's working great. As you pointed out, there's great industry based on it. It's grown wonderfully. It's an important part of world commerce. It's working great. It's got some problems. I think the problem with security is going to get better over time, and we're seeing indications of that now. What sort of indications? Well, Vista, for one thing. I think when Bill Gates in February 2001 said, we really mean it, we need security, I was skeptical for a little while, but I agree with it. I think it was clear he meant it. It is a tremendous, a mythical task, almost, to try to clean up such a vast quantity of software. And so one of the good signs was that it took longer to come out with Vista than they expected, which I think meant they had to go deeper than they intended.
Uh-huh.
Another good sign is for many people it is painful to go to Vista. Now, that's a good sign for the same reason it's a good sign, in a sense, that it's your first trip to the dentist after 20 years is painful. You've got some hygiene, you've got some cleaning, some security and permissions things to clean up. I think that was another good sign. It isn't... there are going to be security problems with Vista. I think SP1 is going to be a big help. But I think this stuff is going to get better and better over time. And we're going to see fewer and fewer attacks of the sort we've been seeing, at least from the outside of computers.
There's a lot of talk, especially in the last 12 to 18 months, about the network perimeter disappearing and a lot of attention being placed on encryption and protecting data as opposed to investing in perimeters. Do you ever see a day when network security is passé, so to speak, when this whole notion of the perimeter entirely disappears?
Yes, to some extent. I have been running... Okay, back up a little bit.
Sure.
I call connecting to the internet without a perimeter defense skinny dipping.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sort of skinny dipping. There's a little bit of excitement and an element of danger, just like real skinny dipping. And I've been doing it for most of my machines since the mid-1990s. The question being, can you live without a firewall? And the answer is pretty much I can, and other people are starting to be able to. There's one company, I think it's British Petroleum, that has moved 20,000 of their employees outside the firewall with Microsoft equipment. It may be a little early. We're going to watch this experiment closely, but I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Perimeter defenses were an excuse for not securing our hosts, which we didn't know how to do or couldn't do very well, and we're getting better at it. And I think they are going to go away to a fair extent. You know, getting out behind the DMZ is the paper I have in mind. We've got VPNs, we've got stronger host security, as you say, crypto. we have a variety of tools that can potentially make us more secure, and we're learning that hiding behind a wall, we crunchy outside, chewy center, isn't such a safe thing in the first place. So this really focuses your, when you're out there, you know they can get to you. This really focuses your attention on the security of your machine. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think we're going to see more people coming out from behind the firewall, but not entirely, for two reasons. One, they're going to be machines that we simply don't know how to secure very well. Mm-hmm. I have that in my home network. My Myth TV box is a security nightmare. There's no way I'm ever going to expose that to the outside network. There's just too much junk in it. And the other reason is because if you are wide open, if you're skinny dipping on the internet, you are accessible, you can get denial of service attacks. Mm-hmm. And I see no theoretical way to stop a denial of service attack except, well, you can't block them. You can try, but that doesn't work very well. You can throw more network and computer iron at it, which large sites like Microsoft and Amazon do. But for most people, if you've got a payroll machine, you really don't want that swamped by packets from the outside, even if it's secure enough to resist invasion from the outside.
So do I have it correct? The guy who wrote the firewall book doesn't use one?
On
his personal machine?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, is that entirely correct? I have a Macintosh, and the firewall's turned on it.
Uh-huh.
So does that mean I'm using a firewall? Well, sort of. I use whatever network security tools I need to do, mm-hmm. but I'm constantly revising and rethinking the underlying security reasons. I can give you a classic problem where the world, I think, has gotten stuck in the wrong place,
sure.
and that is with passwords. There are a whole bunch of rules that anyone can tell you by rote that your passwords have to be, you know, have to be so long and so many letters and so on. These are all rules that were invented to make passwords unguessable by computers.
Right.
Subject to dictionary attacks. Well, the real solution to this is not to have the poor person try to remember 15 passwords, each of them with different complexity. The real solution here is to get out of the dictionary attack game. Think about the password on your ATM card. It's four digits. A computer can guess four digits in, I don't know, a microsecond. However, you get three guesses and then your card is disabled. If you do that for other passwords, then all of a sudden you don't need to have people choosing 20-character passphrases. They can go back to English words. If they're reasonably unguessable, three guesses is fine. And all of this engineering of complicated passwords doesn't help a different attack, the keyboard sniffer, which is one of the attacks we have these days.
Right.
So it's really causing a lot of pain for people, and it's not making the world more secure. I have a machine right here, which is festooned with yellow Post-its, and they are all the different passwords I need to get my my official corporate work done. And, you know, obviously, this problem is exacerbated by mergers, because a company may get the right solution, a good single sign-on, and then they merge with other companies, and they bring in other systems, and these mergers take a while to combine these things, and that's certainly the case here. But it's a problem, a very wide problem. So I think rethinking some of the stuff that they might have read about in the book, it's about time. And one of the things that my co-authors and I are thinking about are, how do we bring people up to date? Thank you for listening to our advice 15 years ago, but now it's time to rethink this, and here are some thoughts.
So there's another book coming?
It's unclear. The second edition sold very poorly. I mean, it was a standard book. It sold pretty much what you'd expect a standard book to be. I don't know if it was worth it, but certainly a paper and maybe some talks about, and maybe even some interviews about saying, well, wait a minute, people, we really need to rethink these passwords. And you caught the rules we came up with in the 80s and 90s just fine, but now let's change the game. It's really poor engineering to ask humans to come up with words that computers can't guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to improve the engineering.
Going back just a second to network security,
sure.
Just from your observations, what's exciting in terms of research or innovation out there that you
can see? Yeah, I get this a lot. I'm a big fan of VMware. I don't necessarily mean the company,
mm-hmm.
though I like their product. the idea of sandboxing things inside virtual sandboxes, I think, is a very powerful tool. And there's a lot of commercial activity in this area, and there's also a lot of academic activity on caging software. And I think we have to do this because the basic programs we're running, things like web browsers and mail readers, are giant, dangerous programs that I despair that we'll ever get in a very secure state. And therefore, I want to put them in a sandbox. And there are lots of people who are thinking about sandboxing all of this stuff so that we'll have the belt and suspenders built into a computer. My goal is that grandma should be able to click on any site anywhere and not have her computer get taken over. You know, because nobody knows. They say don't click on this or don't open these attachments. Well, the fact is you can never tell all the cases that could be done in here. People can always be fooled, and they will be in the future. And therefore, you need to build actual software that is armored and engineered against this.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever talk to any of the researchers working on virtualization and security who are worried about malware jumping from the virtual machine to the host? And do you think that's a viability, or is that outside what you study?
No, that's very much a concern.
Yeah,
that's part of the engineering of this. How do you build a sandbox that people can't come out of? And part of the engineering is, well, how do you know they can't get out of it? Given the level that they're working at, it should not be a hard problem to contain software within these things. I don't expect that to be a big problem. Mm-hmm. It certainly shouldn't be.
Why? Just because it's the discipline is just that far advanced, or
no? The techniques are different. We don't know how to make a giant program bug free, and therefore we don't know how to make it reliable. We know a lot more. The sandboxing technology is basically applying the operating systems knowledge that we've accumulated since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to Multics, back way before the kids these days were born. We know a lot about containing arbitrary programs, and we just had needed some hardware help. I mean, VM operating systems, IBM had them back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So this is not new. And the other thing is that the containment process is a completely different process than trying to get software safe. And when you have two different technologies, belt and suspenders, the chance that you can break out of both of them is very small.
Just as a way of closing, care to venture guess where we'll be in 10 years with network security? Will security exist as it does today, or is it just going to be wrapped up into everything else that we're doing?
I think it will be recognizable if you went through a time machine to see what it looked like. But I think things are going to be solider. I think there'll probably be fewer front page New York Times articles on Microsoft viruses and worms. There probably still will be botnets, but I'm hoping that they will be on the wane, simply because we'll have better host security. I'm optimistic. I think it can get better, and I think it is getting better. There are people who disagree, of course. They think this whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket, and there certainly are some attacks on the Internet itself that are concerning.
Any in particular that...
Certainly nothing I'd want to detail in specific, mm-hmm. but it turns out that most of the people you might consider to be evil in the world don't want to attack the Internet. They want to use the Internet, so it's not in their interest to do so. But there are weaknesses, and they're well-known and well-documented, and they're concerning.
That concludes my exclusive conversation with Bill Cheswick. Remember to log on to searchsecurity.com/10th anniversary for more exclusive content related to Information Security Magazine's 10th anniversary issue. I'm Michael Momoso, editor of Information Security. Thank you for listening.